You are listening to RudolfSteinerAudio.com. If you are listening to the podcast of this, it is located at RudolfSteiner.podbean.com. Please consider becoming a patron. This is a reading of a collection of lectures by Rudolf Steiner entitled Eternal and Transient Elements, The Cosmic Past of Humanity and the Mystery of Evil, Collected Works, Volume 184. This is Lecture 8, given on the 21st of September, 1918. In last week's lectures, I said that efforts must be made, with the help of initiation science, to progress from the seeming reality which is really all around us all the time, to genuine reality. I also said that the endeavors which most people find they like, the endeavor to find a uniform, rational theory for the world, actually lead away from reality, taking people straight into delusion about reality. Instead, one must endeavor to distinguish between two streams in reality, especially when it comes to understanding human nature, and then connect anything that can be known about either of the streams with the other. Let us briefly review what has been said so far about these two streams in seeking insight into human nature, and then try to gain the necessary requirements for a view of reality on this basis. Human life really proceeds in such a way that people will only in the second half of life be able to understand what they went through in their thinking and in their inner life altogether in the first half of life. I told you that good sense is active in us in the first 7 years, from birth to second dentition. Sense reigns in us, but our own human powers are not enough to let us grasp what reigns in us then, nor anything we may have learned in those early years. We do not grasp it if limiting ourselves to the one stream which we need to consider. If human beings had to depend completely on themselves as earthly human beings, they would only be able to grasp what they thought, felt, and did up to second dentition when they reach a considerable age, the late 50s and early 60s. We thus are only ready to gain self-knowledge relating to our inner life in childhood when we reach a good age. The powers which enable us to grasp what we lived through so sensibly in early childhood are only born at that late time in human life. We then have a second period in life which extends from second dentition to sexual maturity. Just consider, we have written about this entitled The Education of the Child in the Light of Anthroposophy, what human beings go through in their thinking, feeling, and doing until they reach sexual maturity. Their own human powers, the powers which man has on earth, would only enable them to understand what they have been going through there when they are in their late 40s and early 50s. And anything we live through from sexual maturity into our 20s could only be grasped with our own human powers in the late 30s and early 40s. Anything we think up, if you like also, by way of ideals, the importance of it, the value for life, could only be grasped using our human powers in life when we are in our 30s. Anything we live through from roughly our 28th to 35th year stands on its own, can be more or less grasped. This middle part of human life has a certain balance. There we can think up and understand at the same time. Not so in the other stages of life. You get an idea of human development in one life if you think this through. You will get an idea of how human beings develop in their time on earth. Gaining self-knowledge, seeing that we are bound to time, would really only be possible if we always waited until the requisite age is reached to understand what we were thinking at an earlier stage of life. Human life forms a whole. As individuals, we would not know anything of real significance about ourselves as earth creatures, unless we were to look back in old age. Unless in old age we were to look back on what was developing in us in our youth. This is the one side of human beings, one mood in human life. With regard to this stream, people are wholly subject to time. They simply cannot do anything but wait until the time is ripe. However, I did tell you that human life is not really the way we live through it in Maya existence. It is human life if seen only in relation to time. Yet what is said about the progress of human life in time is absolutely real. For at a pinch, if one wants to stay superficial, one can live with the things we live through between birth and death, but one cannot die with them. For everything else we learn in other ways are taught by others, things we learn because humanity has acquired them in the course of history. In short, the things you, as a temporal human being, learn in other ways than by looking back on youth in age, will initially be lost when we die. We do not take things from that one stream with us through the gate of death. We take with us only the insights gained by doing so at the relevant age. And don't think that you are not doing what I am referring to. Those of you who are older are already looking back on earlier stages in life in their subconscious. It does indeed happen, even if it is at the subconscious level. You would not be taking anything of your external, temporal life through the gate of death if that were not the case. People pay no attention to this in the age of materialism. But everything which the age of materialism can teach people cannot be taken through the gate of death. Only things you have gone through by understanding in old age what was going on in the whole of your being when you were young has significance for the world. That is the one stream. The other stream is brought about in that human beings exist in more than body and soul. In body and soul, their existence proceeds in time in the way we have just been considering again. But human beings also live in spirit and soul. And with this, they exist not only in the realm of time, as we have just been characterizing it, but are also entities of spirit and soul in the realm of eternity. There, however, they are again something completely different from what they appear to be. There they do not develop or evolve. There they are the same from birth to death. But their thinking, feeling, and doing is something completely different from what it appears to them to be. Their thinking, and part of their feeling, consists in entering into cosmic regions where battles of the gods are fought, as I described it to you a week ago. And their doing, acting out of the will, and part of their feeling, consists in entering into a different region in the cosmos where battles of the gods are fought. To reflect, I told you, is to enter into a particular region of spirituality and take part in certain battles of one kind of spirit against another. In the same way, acting out of the will is to take part in certain struggles, although in some instances the struggles have come to rest. A profound truth shown in titled The Portal of Initiation is that great things happen in the cosmos as things happen in our spirit and soul. Human beings want to have no inkling in the age of materialism of the body and soul aspect which proceeds in time. Nor do they want to know of this aspect of spirit and soul, which lives in the realm of eternity, though it looks very different from their thinking, feeling, and doing in ordinary life, and, seen in the light of reality, takes the form of battles in the spirit. It may sound paradoxical to someone who thinks as a materialist, but when you take a thought, it is something completely different from what you see if looking at it yourself in Maya. Let us assume you have a thought. Let us say one of the kind which we mentioned yesterday. You have a thought about space. The moment you think of space, even if merely abstract, the way people do at the present time, the moment your mind fills with thoughts of space, your soul is in a spiritual region where Ahriman is fighting a tremendous battle against hierarchies of a different kind. You would not be able to have the thought of space without living in a region where Ahriman is fighting other hierarchies. And when you develop the will to do something, perhaps I want to go for a walk, however insignificant the action may be, as soon as you let the will become deed, you are, spiritually, in a region where the Luciferic spirits are fighting the spirits of other hierarchies. What happens in the world at large is, seen from the point of view of initiation science, something very different from the shadowy reflection we perceive when, as human beings, we live in Maya between birth and death. For the Maya we perceive is nothing but something which may be compared with the ruffles on the surface of the sea. I gave you this image yesterday. The waves ruffling the surface of the sea essentially is something which would not exist if there were not the sea underneath and the air above. The forces which evoke the ruffling of the waves are within the sea and in the air. The ruffling is but a reflection of the way in which forces from above and below come together. Our life in Maya, between birth and death, thus is nothing but the coming together of those spiritual battles that truly take place in the realm of eternity, when we think, feel, or act out of the will, and the evolutional progress in time which takes place in such a way that we only understand what we did think up in our youth once we have reached old age. Essentially, our life is a nothing unless we consider it as these two true realities coming together. These two true realities are there behind our life. Now, behind our life, there is not only the progress in time, where we would need to wait and wait before we could understand something we thought of earlier in life, nor the things that go on in eternity, taking the same course for the whole of our life between birth and death. No, we ourselves are within this reality, and our being in it also appears only as a reflection. The whole relationship we have to the world appears to us only as a reflection, an image. To perceive the truth always means that one must gain the strength to perceive it. It will not come to us if we prefer to remain passive. To perceive the truth means to see ourselves as we are, within the two streams, in the realm of time and in the realm of eternity. And being in the two realms and living a life which, compared to the true powers, has no more significance than the ruffled waves on the oceans have with regard to the air and the flowing waves below, we live our life between death and birth, and then also again between birth and death. The forces and powers make us their concern as we live in this way. For there always are tremendous powers, which on the one hand endeavor to tear us away from the ordinary life on earth, which proceeds in Maya, and other powers that make every effort to tear us away from the realm of eternity. On the one hand, let us hold firmly on to this. We have the progress of life in time, where in our understanding we only grow mature late for what will be our future. There are forces and powers that sought to limit us to what we are as human beings, wanting to shape us in such a way as human beings that this will happen for us. This means, therefore, that there are forces and powers which want our life truly to run that way, also in Maya, also in earthly life, in such a way that as children we live through one thing or another, but understand nothing of it, living in sleep, as it were, until our 28th year. then begin to have some understanding of what is going on at that time, and then, once we have passed our 35th year, begin to understand earlier things. There are powers that want to make us into purely temporal human beings, individuals who live more or less like a plant in sleep in the first half of life, and only grasp what happened during that sleep when we look back in the second half of life. There are powers that want to make human beings into dreamers in the first half of life, and in the second half of life into someone who remembers those dreams and so gains self-awareness only in the second half of life. In practical terms, if those were the only powers that had an influence on us, it would mean that in our souls we are only born in our early 30s, or at most in our 18th year. Before then we'd walked about as if drowsy in sleep. If this were just as those spirits wish it to be, we would be torn away from the whole of our cosmic past. As I have shown in Title Occult Science, Readers Aside, also known as Esoteric Science, End of Readers Aside, our present existence has its basis in our having gone through a cosmic past, through Saturn, Sun, and Moon periods. As we went through those periods, spirits from the higher hierarchies, who had a particular interest in having human beings arise in the cosmos, spirits who are the creators of humankind, evolved us and placed us in the Earth world. In earthly existence, we are, according to the one stream, human beings of the kind we have described for that world. The forces and powers are there which wanted us to be such earthly human beings only. If they were to win, they would tear us away from our Saturn, Sun, and Moon past. They would preserve us in life on Earth. They would make us into nothing but earthly human beings. That is the aim of certain powers, the Ahrimanic powers. Ahriman seeks to make us into pure time people, seeks to tear our life on Earth away from our cosmic past. He seeks to make the Earth into a completely separate entity and to make us wholly telluric, utterly earthly. Other powers seek to achieve the exact opposite. Their aim is to tear us away completely from our life in time, to give us a thinking, feeling, and doing, which drips down solely from the region of eternity, without our doing anything to bring it about, and then maintain it throughout life. If they were to win, the whole of our life in time would dry out. We would finally, actually very soon, it would have happened long since if these spirits had won, lay aside our physical body nature, our nature in body and spirit, and we would be nothing but specters. Our task, in so far as it comes from existence on Earth, would not be done. We would be drawn away from existence on Earth. These spirits consider the Earth to be too bad. They hate the Earth. They don't like the Earth. They want to lift human beings away from the Earth. They want to make them exist in the realm of eternity. They want them to eliminate everything which proceeds in time, the way I have shown it. These are the Luciferic spirits. Their aims are, in the first place, the opposite of those of the Ahrimanic spirits. The Ahrimanic spirits seek to tear human beings and the whole of their earthly existence away from the cosmic past and preserve the earthly principle. The Luciferic spirits seek to cast away the earth, everything that is earthly in human beings, and make them wholly spiritual so that nothing earthly influences them, so that they will not be filled with the nature and powers of the earth. They would wish to have man as a cosmic spirit. They would wish that the earth dropped away from evolution, that it be cast aside in the universe. Ahriman wants the earth to grow independent and be man's whole world. The Luciferic spirits want the earth to be cast aside, thrown away by humanity, and that humanity be taken up into the realm where the Luciferic spirits themselves are, where they have their existence in the world of sheer eternity. To achieve this, the Luciferic spirits are all the time trying to make the intelligence which we have as human beings automatic. And they also seek to suppress our free will. If intelligence became purely automatic, if free will were to be suppressed, we would be able to use automatic intelligence and do what we are meant to do, not according to our own will, but according to the will of the gods. We would be able to be purely cosmic spirits. Such is the aim of the Luciferic spirits. They want to make us into pure spirit, as it were, into spirits that do not have their own intelligence, but only cosmic intelligence, and no free will of their own, in whom all thinking and doing proceeds automatically, as in the hierarchy of the angels, and in many respects in the hierarchy of the Luciferic spirits themselves, though there in another respect. The Luciferic spirits want to make of us pure spirit. They want to cast away the earthly aspect. Instead, they want to create an intelligence for us that is utterly and completely uninfluenced by any kind of brain, and in which there is absolutely no free will. The spirits gathered around Ahriman want exactly the opposite. They want to cultivate the human intellect, cultivating it more and more in such a way that it will be more and more dependent on all earth existence. And they want to develop particularly also the human will, everything, therefore, which the Luciferic spirits want to suppress. The Ahrimanic spirits, or rather the spirits that serve Ahriman, want to develop just this to the full. It is particularly important to remember this. Human beings would arrive at some kind of self-sufficiency. They would be dreamers in their young days, but they would be someone quite bright in old age, understanding many things from personal experience. They would, however, receive no revelations from spiritual worlds. Let us accept the fact that anything which makes us bright in youth has come from revelations. Personal experience only comes with age. And the Ahrimanic spirits want to limit us to this personal experience. We would have free will, but would at best be born in spirit and soul only in our 28th year. Just consider. As human beings, we are really between the two directions of will in the spiritual world. And as human beings, we have, in a sense, the task to live through the world in such a way that we follow neither Ahriman nor Lucifer, but find a balance between the two streams. It is possible to imagine that people feel shudders down their spine, even in this materialistic age, when they hear what is actually going on deep down in human nature. People do shudder at this, and it was therefore arranged in the world order that divine teachers provided superconscious knowledge in earlier times, so that people did not have to take a position relating to the battle in the spirit. Initiates were thus able to keep silent in the outside world about those struggles. There have always been people who knew, about the battles which, in a way, take place behind the scenes in every human life. There have always been individuals who have become convinced that life is a matter of worming one's way through a struggle, that life holds a danger. Yet it also came to be more and more the principle that one could not guide people to the threshold, to the guardian of the threshold, so that they would not have to feel that shudder down the spine, if I may put it in such commonplace terms. Those days are over, however. Times will come in future earth evolution when the children of Lucifer will have to be separated from the children of Ahriman, either the one or the other. To know that we are in this situation and will have to conduct life in this knowledge is something which today one has to say is a vital necessity for the future of humanity and which has to be understood. Anyone wishing to live life in such knowledge will, in a way, I'd say, have to develop cosmic sentience. What does it mean to develop cosmic sentience? It means One has to learn to see the world in a somewhat different way from the one we are used to seeing, in the light of Maya. When one goes about in the world with initiation science, feelings arise which do not exist for as long as one lives merely in the knowledge of Maya. Feelings arise which ordinary people will consider not just paradoxical, but foolish, sheer fantasy. But they are as justifiable as possible, especially with regard to the truth. If one is armed with initiation science, as one faces another person, one swings to and fro between sentience of two things. In quotes, human being, one will think, quote, you are swinging to and fro between two possibilities. Either you give yourself up entirely to the temporal and grow mineral, rigid, being nothing but an earthly human being and losing your cosmic past, or you volatilize in spirit and become a spiritual automaton. You do not achieve your goal as a human being, although you are spirit. Close quote. We might say that when you have a person before you in this way, you are really always having two human beings before you, one who is in danger of growing petrified in his form, growing dense and rigid in form, and growing together with the earth, and the other in danger of casting out everything that tends toward mineralization, hardening, and growing quite soft, like jellyfish, and ultimately dissolving as a spiritual automaton in the universe. These two human beings present themselves to those who are armed with initiation science when they study a human being. You're always afraid, I'd say. Forgive me, but one has to take such words as the language offers. And some things do sound paradoxical when you point to the sphere of reality. That all the people you meet might suddenly turn into those strange figures you sometimes see on rock faces, knights on horseback, as if brought forth from the rock, or other figures in the mountains, sleeping virgins, and so on, that people might turn into such things, merge into the earth's mineral world, and only live on as mineralized forms. Or they might cast out anything that points them toward mineralization, and be like jellyfish. The organs which have condensed might swell up, ears might be giant size, also encompassing the larynx. Wing-like organs might grow from the shoulders and grow together with it all. The whole world would be as soft as a jellyfish, but as if dissolving out of its own billowing wave form. One would have such sentience, cosmic sentience, I'd say, not only with regard to people, if one approaches them with initiation insight, but one will ultimately apply this cosmic sentience to everything. As you will have noticed, the tendency to grow rigid, turn to stone, comes from Ahriman. The tendency to volatilize, to be first like jellyfish and then dissolve, comes from Lucifer. It is not limited to anything we encounter in human beings, but extends to everything abstract we encounter. You grow sentient of all things that go in straight lines as Ahrimanic, all curved lines as Luciferic. The circle is the symbol for Lucifer, the straight line for Ahriman. Look at the human head. This has the tendency, you can see it if you look at a skeleton, to petrify, grow bony in the form given to it by the earth, to stick with that form. It is Ahrimanic. If the powers active in the human head were to be active in the whole human being, people would assume the form of Ahriman, as you see him in the sculpture over there, and would be all head nature, all personal intelligence, egotistical intelligence, and wholly self-willed, with the will reflected in the form itself. Looking at the other human being, not the head one, but the human being of extremities in the wider sense, we get the impression that if the powers active in the rest of the human being were to be active in the whole human being, the human being's form would be like the figure of Lucifer in the sculpture. Wherever we look, everywhere, whether in the life of nature or in social life, equipped with initiation science, we would be able to look into the Ahrimanic and the Luciferic principles. We just have to be sentient of the Ahrimanic and the Luciferic. To develop such sentience is indeed necessary in developing toward the future of humanity. People must learn to feel, quote, Luciferic spirit prevails throughout the world. This Luciferic spirit prevails also in all human social life. And this Luciferic spirit wants above all to remove from the world everything that is law in the world, any law human beings have ever established. In human social life, nothing is more hateful to Lucifer but everything that has a whiff of being law about it. Close quote. Ahriman wants to have laws everywhere. Ahriman just wants to write down laws all over the place. On the other hand, human social life is woven from Lucifer's hatred of anything by way of law and Ahriman's sympathy for laws. And we won't understand life unless we grasp its dual nature. Ahriman loves everything that is outward form and can grow rigid. Lucifer, the Lucifers, love everything unformed, anything which dissolves form, growing fluid and mobile. We have to learn from life to establish balance between the principle that wants to grow rigid and the principle of getting fluid. Look at the forms in our building. Everywhere, straight line is taken into curve. Balance is sought. Everywhere, the attempt is to let something, which is growing rigid, dissolve into fluidity. Everywhere rest is created in movement, but the rest is set in motion again. This is what is so very spiritual in the building. As human beings of the future, we must endeavor to configure something in art and in life, knowing that down below is Ahriman, who wants everything to freeze, and up above is Lucifer, who wants everything to volatilize. Both principles must, however, remain invisible, for in the world of Maya there can only be the ruffling of the waves. Woe betide if Ahriman or Lucifer were on their part seeking to push their way into something that wants to be life. Our building has therefore developed into a state of balance in the universe that has been wrested, lifted out of the realm of Ahriman and the realm of Lucifer. Everything culminates in the central figure of the group, the representative of man, where everything Luciferic and Ahrimanic is to be extinguished. That this is so, that it has been taken away from the only thing that should remain spiritually, is shown in the group, where the Luciferic and Ahrimanic spirits are shown as opposites in balance, so that people may come to understand it. That is the prospect we must put before people today, so that they come to understand that they must find the balance between Ahrimanic and Luciferic. The Ahrimanic always makes us move in a straight line in spirit and soul. The Luciferic always guides us into wave-like or circular motion and makes us manifold. Ahriman is tweaking our ear when we tend one-sidedly toward monism, wanting to declare the whole world to be a single whole. Lucifer is tweaking the lobe of the other ear when we become monadists, one-sidedly so, declaring the world to consist of many, many atoms or monads, all different. Basically, for anyone with insight, one finds that when monists fight pluralists, monadologists, the human being involved in the dispute is mostly not responsible for the situation. Behind him is Ahriman to tweak his ear if he is a monist, providing him with all the excellent reasons, all the logic he thinks is his own to support his monism. And when someone is a follower of Leibniz or another monadologist, it will be Lucifer who provides all the excellent reasons for the manifold nature of spiritual entities. What we have to look for is a state of balance oneness in manifoldness, manifoldness in oneness. It is more difficult than to look for oneness or else for manifoldness, just as it is altogether more difficult to look for a state of balance than for something or other on which one may rest at ease. People turn into skeptics or mystics. The skeptics feel themselves to be free spirits, able to doubt everything. The mystics feel themselves to be imbued with godliness, lovingly and perceptively embracing everything within them. Essentially, skeptics are merely disciples of Ahriman, mystics merely disciples of Lucifer. Humanity must endeavor to find the balance. Mystic experience in skepticism, skepticism in mystic experiences. It matters not if you're Montaigne or Augustine. What matters is that Augustine casts light on anything that is Montaigne, and vice versa. Bias makes human beings deviate toward the one stream or the other. What actually is, in quotes, the Luciferic? It really exists to make us headless, taking away our own intelligence and free will. And the Luciferic spirits, the Luciferic element, really wants us to die in our 28th year and not grow old. It is better, by the way, to say the Luciferic spirits, but Ahriman. For although Ahriman has hosts of followers, he presents as a single whole, since he strives to be such. The Luciferic elements presents as manifold, because that is what it aims for. This is why one puts it the way I have been doing in today's lecture. If things were to be just as Lucifer, the Luciferic spirits, want, we would turn into children. Young women and young men would have good knowledge of eternity fed to us drop by drop. But we would develop sclerosis in about our 28th year and soon begin to dote, so that anything we can develop by way of human insight would be cast up as sclerosis, and anything we take in our youth could be spiritualized. The Luciferic spirits want to take us straight to the spiritual world and not let us go through Jupiter, Venus, and Vulcan development before we become cosmic spirits. They consider this unnecessary. Their aim is to take human beings away from the earth and to the divine and spiritual goal with everything they have developed on Saturn, Sun, and Moon. This is a stream in which man is to be taken forward as fast as possible. It is a precipitate stream. The Luciferic spirits want to rush ahead with us and take us into cosmic spirit nature as soon as possible. The Ahrimanic spirits would wish to wipe out our past and take us and the earth back to the starting point, extinguishing our past, preserve us as we are on earth, and then take us back to where we were as human entities on Saturn. It is a retrograde movement. Life ultimately is made up of a precipitate and a retrograde movement, and we must find the state of balance between the two. Do not say that these things are difficult, for that simply is not the point. Yesterday I showed you how in earlier times people had experiences of space and time, experiencing them in a concrete way. To us they are abstract. To them they were concrete. We must learn to look at our surroundings in such a way that we see everywhere this interplay in processes of growing rigid, evaporating, running away and throwing back, linear and curved, held in balance. One can be asleep with things simply seen in the world. If we are wide awake and looking at the world, it will threaten in everything it is to grow rigid or evaporate as soon as the balance is lost. You can be sentient of various things when looking at the group sculpture. You can feel the representative of man at the center, the lines and surfaces and forms where everything Luciferic and Ahrimanic has been extinguished. The forms are there, but as far as possible the Luciferic and Ahrimanic quality has been eliminated. You can see Lucifer and Ahriman given form. You can sense this contrast in the central human being, in Lucifer and Ahriman, and you can go through the world feeling that you will find the like of this everywhere in the world. Someone who really makes the quality his own, that lives in the feelings which one can develop in looking at this Trinity, will gain a great deal that will enable him to perform a kind of autopsy or dissection of life. Much will be revealed in the world if we look at it in the way in which these feelings arise when considering the Trinity of the central human being or representative of man, Much will be revealed in the world if we look at it in the way in which these feelings arise when considering the Trinity of the central human being or representative of man, Ahriman, and Lucifer. The Trinity revealed itself to the ancients in their feeling for space, the oneness of the divine in their feeling for time. The most sublime of cosmic secrets will have to reveal themselves to future humanity, if they are able to be aware in a concrete way of the processes of growing rigid, evaporating, running away, pushing back, of linear and curved, of love and hatred, where they are according to their laws, and so on. To see the pendulum swing everywhere in life, that is what matters. For life is not possible unless there is that pendulum swing within it. If you have a clock with a pendulum, you can, of course, avoid the swings by stopping the pendulum. But the clock will be of no use to you then. The pendulum must swing if the clock is to tell the time. This is how there must be the pendulum swing in life. Note must be taken of it everywhere. We'll continue with this tomorrow. The end of Lecture 8.